We're speaking today with Dean Tirandafilou of IOCC. He's the Executive Director of International Orthodox Christian Charities. Dean, nice to have you on the phone.
Hey, thanks, Father. Great to be with you.
The crisis in Syria has obviously dominated the news in the last few weeks. Some of our listeners may not understand exactly what's led to the refugee crisis in the area. We've spoken with Metropolitan Philip about this issue, and I'm hoping that you can help us today fill in how the situation is developing.
Yeah, I was just last week with His Beatitude Patriarch John the X of the Antiochian Church in Europe, and we met for a couple of days, and the situation is obviously a major challenge for him as he's taken over the new ministry as patriarch for the last year.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of movement of people. There's a lot of uncertainty as far as the future. And the church is doing its best as far as to help the people who are getting displaced, who are moving from their homes, who are being forced from their homes, who are trying to stay in their homes, and kind of all of the above.
Mm-hmm.
The IOCC program, we work directly with Greek Orthodox Patriarchate of Antioch, goes by COPA. They have a department for relief and development. We've been partnering with them probably now for 10 years. We started with small projects and actually built the program on working with the Iraqi refugees who were seeking safety in Syria, and now working with the church to deal with all the people. And I think that was the key message from the Patriarch, was reaching out to everyone who's been impacted by this crisis.
Mm-hmm.
In Syria and the immediate region.
We just attended in South Florida at the St. George Antiochian Cathedral. We had a large gathering, a benefit for IOCC. And I know at that dinner we raised over $30,000 to help the issues there that are transpiring. As you said, all people in the country of Syria that are, it's just amazing that it goes on and on and on. I understand that IOCC is actively involved in ministering to the needs of the refugees created by the crisis. Can you help us understand what type of services IOCC is providing? Where are they working? In which countries?
Right now, building on our experience in the region and the offices that we've had before, that we're focused more on development work. We kind of flipped the switch to an emergency. So the main office being out of Beirut, Lebanon, and working with the refugees who moved into Lebanon. We've also got a presence working with families that are hosting people and some support for the camps in Jordan. But the majority of our emergency response is taking place inside Syria, based out of the Damascus Patriarchate. Working with the church, we're doing emergency relief supplies, foods, blankets, materials, assistance, water in some cases. We're, now that the winter is coming, things will shift to some degree, but there's a lot of movement inside Syria, and so we're working with the church to reach out to all the dioceses, which pretty much covers all the geography of Syria. To date, it's, I believe, close to 850,000 people that we've been able to reach and support in some shape or form.
You know, the U.S. media has really been covering this crisis, primarily focused on, say, the political angles, the military options, the diplomatic talks, if you will. Can you help us put a human face on the tragedy for our listeners? What about the people being affected?
I mean, it's just like the other conflicts that I've worked, you know, as far back in the day when I was working in Bosnia. You know, it's the average parishioner. If you think about, you know, going to church on a Sunday, you know, you're getting ready, you're putting, you know, your kids are getting ready for Sunday school or whatever. And then all of a sudden, the next Sunday comes around and the road's blocked and you can't go. Or the following Sunday comes around, and you're not going to church, but you're heading to Damascus, you know, an hour and a half away because your home's fixing to get destroyed, and you can't go to church. So as far as how to relate it to the average, you know, listener, it's really just imagine yourself trying to go to church and you can't. Imagine trying to, you know, go to school and you can't. Imagine your kid, you know, coming home and, you know, can't go to school, and he's crying at night because he's hearing too many, you know, bombs go off and destruction all around him, or you can't go outside and play because he's not sure what's going to happen. You know, and that's happening across the board, you know, with all the families, regardless of what ethnicity or religion they are. You know, the average family who's used to going to work and going to school and going to to worship, you know, can't do those things. You know, they don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. They don't know if they're going to be able to go home tomorrow. They're going to be living in a tent in Lebanon.
Right.
You know, they can't go, you know, what's normal? Going to the grocery store is no longer normal. You know, buying flour for whatever, you know, it was costing you 2 years ago. It's now costing you three times as much. You know, you're not able to go buy the things that you're able to buy at the grocery store and have a good meal on Sunday. Maybe you're only having a good meal once a month. Anything normal has changed. War brings major change to, and it equalizes. It doesn't matter how much you have as far as resources. You might have a little bit more than the next person, but your life's going to change regardless of wherever you are, your status economically. War brings major change and major trauma, major challenges to the family structure and to the leadership in the communities at all levels.
Now, you mentioned tents for a minute, and I want to go there. If you could, what do one of these refugee camps look like? I mean, how are these people living? What are the conditions they're under?
It's extremely austere. I mean, you've got camps and, you know, that have been established, and, you know, you're giving basic materials, but then you're gonna scrounge around and try to find plastic to cover the roof to make it stronger, to protect you from the elements. You're gonna be living in a confined space with lots of other people around you, shared facilities, you know, food. You're not gonna have, you know, particularly if you left your home, you're in an unknown environment. You know, where's your next meal? When are you going to go home? Where are you going to go if you don't go home? So besides the physical challenges, you have the emotional and spiritual challenges as well when you're living in a place when you're not at home. It's not like you're going on a holiday and you're coming back. You're going somewhere and the unknown is the most challenging for these people. You know, besides the physical challenges.
When we look at the crisis in Syria, I know that we're dealing with numerous religious and ethnic groups. Do you know the general breakdown of the people that IOCC is serving at this point?
No, we just help everyone who's in need. You know, whatever we have access to through the church, people coming to the church, we don't ask, we don't track.
Mm-hmm.
We really are focused on reaching out to whoever needs the assistance, and that's coming straight from the top. Patriarch said, make sure you're helping everyone who's whether it's elderly, whether it's vulnerable, whether it's the children, you know, you reach out. We're here as Syrians, and this is our land, and we help everyone who lives here.
You know, one of the other crises I've been following throughout this is the kidnapping of the two bishops. I read something this morning on the wire service that says it's over, now it is over 150 or 140 days that the two bishops are, in essence, missing. They've been kidnapped. Do we have any update on that?
I haven't heard anything. It's
nothing.
Been really quiet. I know there's been a lot of false positives and a lot of things reported, but and then various points during this, you know, crisis, there's been reports of sightings or whatever, but nothing has been reported or shared with us that's credible that gives anything other than we know that they're missing.
Yeah, it says here that the wire service has 150 days abducted as of the date of our interview now, where the two bishops have been not heard from. So clearly our prayers are with them. Let me ask you finally, I know that right now the situation in Syria is desperate. And in your opinion, what's the best outcome that the people of Syria, the Muslims and the Christians, could have out of all this? I mean, what is your prayer for a future Syria and what it would look like?
My prayer is, as it has been for these other conflicts that we've been involved in, is one that, you know, the calmer heads will come together and realize that peace is the only option. I mean, people have been living together, whether it's in Syria or in the Balkans or wherever else, people have been living together for thousands of years, and hopefully we'll be able to live together for thousands of more years to come. So the sooner that peace can come and we start dealing with the pain and the hardships of war, the sooner you can rebuild and rebuild the Syria that I've seen and enjoyed in the past. It was a vibrant place and a great place to visit and to be part of and be part of the church there. So the faster we can start talking about peace, the faster the healing process can start. There has to be time for a healing process. It won't happen overnight.
Sure.
and then peace comes, and hopefully long-term peace for not just Syria but the region, because there's such potential for expansion beyond Syria. We don't want that to happen, but we pray for peace and pray for cool, collected heads that are going to lead us and to bring peace.
Dean, you've done some magnificent work with IOCC. Really, we're humbled by the work of the International Orthodox Christian Charities, and frankly, with your leadership as well. If any of our listeners would like to support the ministry of IOCC, how can they help? How can they get involved?
The biggest thing, is, like we just got you talking about, from my perspective, is you know, praying for peace, praying for the safety and the security of the church, the patriarch and his leadership, that he has the vision and courage and the strength to lead during this time of crisis. Because it's an important part of all that's happening. The security of the staff and the staff of the church as they respond to this crisis, because many of them are leaving their homes to help their brothers and sisters in need. Pray for the IOCC staff because they're putting it risking their lives on a daily basis. And as far as raising awareness, talking about it, there's all kinds of sides to the conflict, and from our perspective, as far as the victims and keeping them, in your hearts and prayers, you give them the strength, the courage to ride this thing out, the fortitude. And then obviously from a financial perspective, the more access to resources we have, the more we can do. As far as the website, keeps people up to date, and there's opportunities to donate through the web at IOCC.org. Whether it's, if it's through a Metropolitan Community event as far as local fundraiser like y'all had in Florida, which we're extremely grateful for, or just, following what we're doing on the web and the press releases, signing up for the releases, that's another way to get engaged.
Great. Thanks very much.
Call the office. Feel free to call the office and check in with the staff if there's something else that you want to do as far as volunteering.
Very good. Thanks a lot, Dean.